Otherwise, my last day.
I need to be announcing over Radio Moscow more than is the case. We have hosted Witness for Peace on a couple of other occasions here. They're on a tour. We were just commenting on the fact that this is not just coming down the street. This is a very, this is really a lot of work on their part to come on this trip through the Pacific Northwest, so we are most appreciative. And I just want to mention, in the spirit of what we're up to, we have some good courses coming up in the spring. If you're obviously interested in this stuff, these very important topics, you might want to consider Modern Latin America or Modern Mexico courses that are being offered. I just put a plug in. So without further ado, I'll invite Colette to make some comments about Witness for Peace and introduce our speaker. So thank you for coming.
Thank you all very much for being here. Like you said, my name is Colette Cosner, and I'm the regional organizer of Witness for Peace here in the Pacific Northwest. We're a grassroots and independent organization committed to peace, justice, and sustainable economies throughout the Americas. Our speakers tour, like the one you're about to hear tonight, delegations and advocacy campaigns promote change in governmental policies and corporate practices that contribute to poverty and oppression in Latin America. Witness for Peace was founded in 1983 when a group of people of faith and conscience, who upon hearing that the U.S. was funding the Contra War in Nicaragua, traveled there to see firsthand the devastating effects of their tax dollars at work. Today, Witness for Peace monitors U.S. involvement in military and economic violence in Nicaragua, Cuba, Mexico, Venezuela, Bolivia, and Colombia, which we're going to hear a lot about tonight. For the last 45 years, Colombia has been caught in a bloody internal conflict, leaving Colombia with the highest number of internally displaced people in the world. Armed actors, including the right-wing paramilitaries, the FARC guerrillas, and the Colombian army, are responsible for the terror which is driving people from their lands. Tonight, we are going to be taking a deeper look at the role of U.S. foreign policy in this internal displacement crisis, and also be taking a look at the hidden beneficiaries of such a war. We began our witness work in Colombia in the year 2000. This is the first year of implementation of something called Plan Colombia. Plan Colombia is a foreign aid package from the U.S. that includes aerial fumigations in an attempt to decrease the production of coca, which is the main plant used in the production of cocaine. Through this agreement, the U.S. has given over $6 billion to Colombia. However, State Department studies show that coca production is actually slightly increased in Colombia. Our presentation tonight, Corn Not Coca, asks the question, who benefits from a plan like this? People or corporations? And what are the underlying reasons for U.S. military presence in Colombia? To that end, we will also be exploring a pending free trade agreement between the U.S. and Colombia. Free trade is the elimination or lowering of trade regulations between countries with the purpose of increasing exports and, in theory, economic growth. However, as we've seen through other free trade agreements like the Central American Free Trade Agreement and the North American Free Trade Agreement, these policies leave the vast majority in poverty and increase wealth for only a few multinational corporations. Our tour coincides with a week of action for trade justice all around the globe, where people are saying no to free trade agreements and yes to sustainable local economies and people's trade agreements. And it is for that reason that I'm very honored to introduce you all today, Rafael Coicoi, who is a voice of hope and a leader in the indigenous communities of Colombia. Rafael is the human rights coordinator for the ASIN, which is the Association of Indigenous Councils of Northern Cauca. In October of 2008, he was featured on CNN about a massacre which took place in his region of La Maria Cauca. This massacre happened at a protest over land rights in La Maria. The international coverage that his testimony received forced the Colombian government to participate in a public hearing and debate over the role of the national police in this massacre. Despite the obvious danger that accompanies his work, Rafael continues to educate audiences on the negative effects of neoliberal trade models that, and the effects that they have on his community. I'm also very honored to have Diego Benitez with us here today. He is our Witness for Peace International team member living in Bogota, Colombia. Diego hails from New York City, but he, you know, lives in Bogota right now, where he also helps monitor U.S. involvement in Colombia. And so without further ado, I'd like to pass it on to them. Thank you all very much for coming. I just wanted to let you know that there's going to be a video after the speaking part of the presentation, and it is a little bit graphic, and so I just wanted to put that out there and warn you all. Thank you.
Thanks, Colette. Thanks, first of all, for all of you who came out. Like Colette mentioned, my name is Diego, currently from New York. I am living in Bogota as a volunteer for Witness for Peace. Part of my job as a volunteer with Witness for Peace is to monitor how U.S. policies affect the communities in Colombia and how they deal with that. I also organize groups of delegations of people who are interested in social justice and human rights, groups like yourselves, to come down into Colombia and see firsthand how these policies are affecting the communities and sort of let you all decide for yourself and develop your own opinion. For these presentations, for this speakers tour, we reached out to an indigenous community in southwestern Colombia and invited Rafael to join us to talk a little bit about how our U.S. policies are affecting his community and how they're responding to all of this. So Rafael is here to talk to us a little bit about that and the history of what they've been dealing with throughout the past few decades. So I'll present to you Rafael Coitue, and he's going to talk to us. I'll be providing the interpretation.
Bueno, primero que todo, muy buenas noches a todos y a todas. Es muy, muy grato para mí y muy importante compartir este espacio de la universidad con ustedes.
Well, first of all, good evening to all of you. It's a big pleasure for me to share this important message with all of you in this space.
Mi nombre es Rafael Coicue, indígena NASA, del departamento del Cauca, Colombia.
My name is Rafael Coicue. I'm from the indigenous NASA community from southwestern Colombia, the Cauca province.
Represento a un pueblo, represento a un proceso que ha luchado y se ha resistido durante más de 518 años desde que llegaron los conquistadores europeos.
I represent a people, I represent a movement that has struggled and resisted for over 518 years since the beginning of the presence of the conquistadors, the Spanish conquistadors.
Y todavía soñamos con que para que nuestra vida y el mundo cambie y tengamos una forma de vida mejor.
We still dream for our lives and for the world to change. And for us to live in a better place.
Bueno, pues como he venido aquí, especialmente a hablar sobre la situación que vive mi país, Colombia, en todos los aspectos, jurídicos, humanitarios, políticos y económicos.
Well, I'm here today to talk and share with all of you about the situation that we're living now in Colombia, in various aspects, in the legal, humanitarian, political, and economical.
Colombia tiene una población de habitantes de 42 millones, y de estos 42, 36 millones son pobres, y de estos hay 10 millones, una pobreza extrema, que solamente tienen una comida al día.
Colombia's current population is 42 million people, 36 million of which live in poverty, 10 million of which live in extreme poverty with only one meal per day.
Y bueno, tenemos la población afrodescendiente que equivale al 12%. O sea, son 4 millones de habitantes afrodescendientes.
We also have an Afro-descendant population that makes up 12% of the total population. There are 4 million people with Afro-descendancy.
Y las comunidades indígenas en Colombia somos todavía 104 pueblos, 65 lenguas, para un total de 1.300.000 indígenas.
And the indigenous community comprises a total of 104 different groups with 65 languages. We're a total of 1,300,000 indigenous.
Esta población indígena equivale al 1.5%. Es uno de los países que tiene menos población indígena en comparada con Ecuador, Perú y Bolivia.
Our total population makes up 1.5% of the total Colombian population, which is less than our neighbors, Ecuador, Peru, and Bolivia.
Colombia es un país muy rico en cultura, en biodiversidad, en agua, en petróleo, oro, esmeralda, tierras productivas.
Colombia is a wealthy nation. It has a rich cultural wealth. It's wealthy in biodiversity, in water, in petroleum, in gold, in emerald, and it has very fertile soil.
Pero sobre esa riqueza es que se centra todos nuestros problemas que tenemos hoy.
And it's over that wealth that our problems are centered.
Primero, llevamos una guerra, una lucha armada interna de más de 40 años.
First, we have an internal conflict, a struggle that's been going on for over 40 years.
Que ha ocasionado desplazamientos, ha ocasionado mucha pérdida de tierras, que ha ocasionado una violación flagrante a los derechos humanos.
And this internal conflict has caused a large amount of displacement, a lot of loss of land, and a number of human rights violations.
Y bueno, cuando yo me refiero a los recursos naturales, me refiero especialmente al petróleo, al oro, a la esmeralda, a las plantas, a la madera y al agua y oxígeno.
When I refer to natural resources, I'm referring to specifically our petroleum, our gold, our emeralds, our plants, our lumber resource, our water and our oxygen.
Sobre esa riqueza hay un interés transnacional de las empresas transnacionales que se quieren apoderar y saquear esos recursos.
Over that wealth, there is a transnational interest. These multinational organizations have interest in exploiting our natural resources.
Y por eso es la guerra. Y por eso es el conflicto interno.
And that's why we have war. That's why there is an internal conflict.
Porque nuestros gobiernos han facilitado y han querido entregar la riqueza y la soberanía a estas empresas transnacionales.
Because our government has facilitated the handover of our wealth and our natural resources to these transnational organizations.
Y bueno, este conflicto ha ocasionado 4 millones de desplazados, ha despojado de tierra alrededor de 5 millones de tierras productivas han sido quitadas a los campesinos, afros, indígenas y otras personas.
And this conflict has created an internal displacement of over 4 million people. It's disenfranchised them of their land. Over 10 million acres of land have been taken away from small-scale farmers, from the indigenous communities, from Afro-descendant communities, and from other various communities.
Y estos desplazados hoy están en las cuatro principales ciudades, Bogotá, Medellín, Barranquilla y Cali, en un cordón de miseria absoluto, pidiendo limosna en los semáforos y vendiendo estuche de celulares.
And these displaced victims are living in four main cities, in the city of Bogotá, in Medellín, in the city of Barranquilla, and in Cali. They're living in absolute misery and poverty, and they're forced to beg at stoplights. They also sell for a living small cellular phone cases.
Y todas sus tierras están en manos de grandes terratenientes y en manos de varias empresas transnacionales que están saqueando los recursos.
And these rich soils, these lands, are in the hands of large landowners and various multinational organizations that are exploiting the resources.
Voy a mencionar algunas de estas empresas transnacionales que están queriendo quedarse con la riqueza y con la mano de obra barata de los colombianos.
I'd like to mention just a few of these multinational organizations that would like to control the wealth, the natural resources, and exploit our cheap labor.
Bueno, empezamos por la más conocida, que es Coca-Cola, que es Dole, que es Monsanto, Cargill, Drummond, ExxonMobil, Texaco, La Shell, Chiquita Brands, Nestlé. Son unas de las que hacen más presencia allá.
Well, I'll start off with the best known, which is Coca-Cola, and also Dole, Monsanto Chemical Company, Cargill, Drummond, Texaco, Shell, Chiquita, Nestlé. And these are some of the organizations that are active now.
Quienes han utilizado una estrategia jurídica, especialmente tratando de firmar un acuerdo de libre comercio.
They've applied legal strategies and specifically to pass a free trade agreement with Colombia.
Y es un tratado de libre comercio, un nombre muy bonito, pero es un tratado entre gobiernos y entre empresas poderosas transnacionales.
This free trade agreement, which has a pretty name, is between governments and powerful transnational organizations.
¿Y para qué el tratado? Para que se facilite el saqueo, la explotación, y para que se facilite los instrumentos jurídicos para sus intereses.
And why do they want a passage of a free trade agreement? It's to facilitate the exploitation of our natural resources and to facilitate the passing of legal measures that would interest these organizations.
Y han comenzado a reformar la Constitución, a cambiar las normas para favorecer la llegada y la implementación de este tratado de manera directa.
And they began to reform the Constitution and change the laws to implement and facilitate the passing of this treaty.
Es un tratado que viola la soberanía nacional, un tratado que le entrega la riqueza a las multinacionales, la explota y nos deja en la extrema pobreza o miseria.
This treaty violates our national sovereignty. It's a treaty that will hand over our wealth for these multinational organizations to exploit and leave us in complete poverty and misery.
Por esta razón nos persiguen, por esta razón nos desplazan, por esta razón nos matan, por esta razón nos meten a la cárcel.
For this reason they persecute us, they displace us, they kill us, and they incarcerate us.
Y por eso dijimos no al TLC, porque el TLC para nosotros, o el Tratado de Libre Comercio para nosotros, es la muerte de nuestros pueblos, de nuestra cultura y de nuestros derechos.
And this is why we say no to the free trade agreement, because the free trade agreement to us means death, death to our, of our people, of our culture, and of our rights.
Aquí también planteamos que nosotros no nos oponemos al desarrollo. Nosotros sí queremos el desarrollo, pero queremos un desarrollo que respete la vida, un desarrollo que respete la naturaleza. Queremos un desarrollo que podamos salir todos adelante.
And here I'd say that we're not against development. We want development, but we want a development that respects our lives. We want development that respects nature, a development where all of us can move ahead and succeed.
Por eso proponemos un acuerdo, un tratado de comercio entre pueblos, entre organizaciones, entre productores agrarios.
And this is why we propose an agreement, a treaty between communities, between people and organizations, and agricultural producers.
Y planteamos que un acuerdo para que fortalezca la economía campesina, la economía comunitaria, la economía social, la economía que respete la vida.
An agreement, we would propose an agreement that strengthens the economy of small-scale farmers, the economy of our communities, the economy of our society, and respects our lives.
Que fortalezcamos el mercado justo. Eso es lo que tenemos que hacer para que los del sur ganemos y para que también los pueblos del norte y de Europa ganemos. Y no solamente se quede la riqueza en dos o tres familias del mundo.
And we propose a fair trade where the people of the south and the people of the north and of Europe all gain, and not where only a few families, two or three rich families, gain.
Hoy los alimentos del mundo están en manos de Cargill, están en manos de Monsanto. Ellos suministran el 60, el 70% de la alimentación del mundo.
Today the food production is being overseen by Cargill and by Monsanto. They oversee today over 60 to 70% of food production in the world.
Y bueno, hoy es el alimento, mañana será el agua, será el oxígeno y luego será la vida.
Well, today it's food, tomorrow it might be water and oxygen, and one day it might be our lives.
Por eso decimos que un tratado entre pueblos es mejor y no con las multinacionales.
This is why we say a treaty between people is better and not between multinational organizations.
Sumado a esto está el Plan Colombia o la política antidrogas de Estados Unidos.
Added to this is the strategy Plan Colombia, which is an anti-drug policy.
Este Plan Colombia se acordó en el año 99 y se implementó o se ejecutó en el año 2000.
This Plan Colombia was first conceived in 1999 and was executed in year 2000.
Llevamos 6-7 años de la implementación de Plan Colombia y una inversión de 6.000, 7.000 millones de dólares a Colombia.
The Plan Colombia has been in effect for over 6 to 7 years, and over $6 to $7 billion have been passed on to Colombia through this strategy.
Pero esta plata que llegó a Colombia nuevamente se regresó a los Estados Unidos. Se regresó porque con esta plata se compraron los helicópteros, los aviones, los fusiles, las bombas, el glifosato, la asesoría militar. El 80% de esta plata se regresó a las empresas transnacionales de Estados Unidos.
The money that was sent to Colombia returned right back to the United States. It was used to purchase helicopters and planes, guns, bombs. It was used to purchase the chemical glyphosate that's used to fumigate. It was used to purchase advisors. 80% of the money that was sent to Colombia returned to the United States and the corporations that produced these products.
Y a los campesinos, a los que producen la coca, solamente le llegó guerra, le llegó fumigación, le llegó mucha cárcel, pero no hubo alternativa o no hubo una ayuda económica para cambiar de actividad.
And for the small-scale farmers, the ones who are producing coca, the only thing that this strategy brought to them was war. Brought to them fumigation and imprisonment. There were no alternatives that were offered to them. There was no economic, no aid to help change their activities.
La otra beneficiada fue Monsanto, quien tiene un contrato en el Plan Colombia para realizar la fumigación con glifosato.
The other person, organization that benefited was Monsanto, which has a contract with Colombia to spray and fumigate the fields with glyphosate.
Ya ha fumigado con glifosato y le ha hecho mucho mal a la población civil a los cultivos lícitos, al ambiente, al agua. Hay niños que han muerto y también hay niños que han nacido enfermos.
And this fumigation strategy with the chemical glyphosate has done bad for our some civilians, for our society. It's destroyed our legal crops. It's harmed the environment. It's contaminated our water. It's hurt our children. Many of our children have been born sick because of this.
Sabemos que en Estados Unidos el glifosato está prohibido, pero nos lo echan a nosotros.
We know that in the United States glyphosate is prohibited, but nevertheless they spray it on us.
Nosotros sí queremos la ayuda de Estados Unidos. Creemos que es necesaria, pero no la queremos que nos den aviones, tanquetas, fusiles. Queremos que nos ayuden para la educación, para la salud, para mejorar la producción. Para eso queremos la ayuda.
We recognize that we need U.S. aid. We want their help. But we don't want this aid to go to purchasing planes, and tanks, and guns. Rather, we want this aid to contribute to our education, to our health, and to increase our production capacity.
Y bueno, hay otra estrategia que está implementando el Comando Sur de los Estados Unidos en Colombia.
And there's another strategy that Southern Command of the United States is implementing.
En Colombia siempre ha habido presencia militar de Estados Unidos.
There's always been U.S. military presence in Colombia.
Desde los años 60, 70, con la implementación de la Escuela de las Américas.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, with the implementation in the School of the Americas.
Y ahora quieren instalar 12 bases militares en Colombia.
And now they're thinking of installing 12 bases in Colombia.
Instalar bases militares para controlar el territorio de Colombia, para vulnerar la soberanía de Colombia y también para invadir otros países.
These bases will be used to control the territory of Colombia, to make our sovereignty, to make us vulnerable, and also to invade other countries.
¿A quién beneficia estas bases militares? ¿Beneficia a los ciudadanos de Estados Unidos o a las empresas transnacionales?
So who does this strategy benefit? Does it benefit the citizens of the United States or does it benefit multinational corporations?
Nosotros decimos que beneficia a las empresas porque ellos quieren el control del territorio mediante la fuerza, mediante la guerra, para sacar los recursos.
We say that this benefits the corporations because they want control of the lands. They want control through means of war and through force.
También sabemos que el mundo y Estados Unidos está con una crisis económica. Entonces, ¿de dónde sale la plata para construir 12 bases militares con una cantidad enorme de millones de dólares?
We know also that the United States and the world is in an economic crisis. But where is this money coming from to construct these 12 bases, which will cost, which would be a cost of multi-million dollars, millions of dollars?
Y también les quiero hacer una pregunta. Ustedes como ciudadanos pagan impuestos, pero ustedes saben en qué se gastan esos impuestos. ¿Esa plata es para convivencia, para la paz del mundo, o es para hacer la guerra en el mundo?
I also want to ask you all a question. All of you as citizens pay taxes. But where is that money being used? Is it being used to create harmony and peace throughout the world, or is it being used to impose war?
En ese sentido, los invito a los profesores, a los estudiantes que hoy hacen presencia aquí, para que profundicen más, investiguen más la realidad de América Latina, pero también la política exterior de Estados Unidos. ¿Quién está detrás de esa política? ¿Es el pueblo de Estados Unidos o son las transnacionales?
I invite all of you, the students and professors that are here today, to have a deeper understanding and investigate the realities that are occurring in Latin America, but also to investigate the foreign U.S. policies and identify who's behind these policies, and does it benefit the citizens of the United States, or are these policies benefiting multinational corporations?
Porque un pueblo informado, un pueblo educado, es un pueblo que puede salvar el mundo.
Because a people and a community that's informed and educated is a community that can save the world.
Y nosotros, en ese proceso de organización y para poder resistir, hemos construido la organización de la Minga Social y Comunitaria.
And in this process of organizing and resisting, we've constructed the Minga, a social and communal Minga. Minga is an indigenous word used to identify a social and collective movement.
¿Y qué quiere la Minga? Primero, quiere convocar, organizar, unir, prepararnos, juntarnos todos para resistir.
And what does the Minga ask for? It calls upon the people to organize, to collect and unite, and to gather for resistance.
Que nos juntemos, los indígenas, los campesinos, los obreros, los estudiantes, los hombres y mujeres que sueñan con un mundo mejor.
So that we may all unite, the indigenous communities, small-scale farmers, students, workers, men and women, for all of us, to work together for a better world.
En Colombia y en América Latina hay muchos grupos, muchas resistencias, pero estamos dispersos, estamos desarticulados, no estamos unidos. Entonces la Minga lo que pretende es que nos unamos y comencemos a trabajar juntos.
In Colombia and in Latin America there are many movements of resistance, but they're spread out. They haven't articulated their thoughts, they're not united. The Minga calls upon all these movements to unite and work together to create change.
Y esto lo hacemos porque solos no podemos. Tenemos que unirnos, tenemos que organizarnos, tenemos que concientizarnos de que solo unidos podemos tener un país para nuestros hijos.
Well, we do this because we recognize that alone we can't. We need to unite, we need to organize, we need to raise awareness, we need to unite as a country for the future of our children.
Pero esta Minga es un proceso social, civil, con propuestas, con un proyecto, con un sueño de proyecto de país.
This Minga is a social movement, it's a civil movement with proposals and dreams for an alternative country.
Yo creo que hemos dado un primer paso. Lo dimos en el 2008. Logramos marchar más de 500 kilómetros para llegar a Bogotá y decirle al país la propuesta política de la Minga.
Those are the first steps. In 2008, we walked over 1,000 miles to the capital of Colombia, Bogotá, to offer our government alternative proposals.
Y en el camino, mientras caminábamos, llegaron los estudiantes, llegaron los desplazados, llegaron las víctimas de la violencia, llegaron los campesinos, llegaron los afrodescendientes. Eso nos dio mucho ánimo y mucha fuerza.
Throughout this march, we gathered students and displaced people, victims of crimes from the state, small-scale farmers and afrodescendant communities, and all of this gave us strength and motivation.
Pero también esa Minga fue reprimida por el gobierno. Tuvimos más de 120 heridos, tuvimos 3 compañeros asesinados por la policía, tenemos 12 compañeros lisiados. Unos perdieron la mano, otros quedaron en silla de ruedas y otros perdieron la vista, el ojo.
Throughout that process we were also repressed. 120 of us were injured, 3 of us were assassinated by the police. 12 of us were severely injured. Some of us lost our hands. Some of us were permanently in wheelchairs. Some of us lost our eyes.
En mi vida personal, también he sufrido y he sido golpeado por esa lucha.
In me personally, I've also suffered and I've been hurt in this struggle.
Yo recibí un disparo de la policía en ese proceso de reclamar mis derechos con mi comunidad y perdí la vista izquierda, pero no me han quitado las fuerzas para seguir luchando por un mundo mejor.
I also suffered in the process. I received a gunshot wound from the police, but I still managed to reclaim and continue reclaiming our rights, my rights. I lost vision and I was shot in my left eye, but we still continue.
Y hoy la minga sigue caminando. En octubre 10 hicimos otra marcha. Ya no solamente una sola, sino que hicimos tres. Una en Cali, otra en Bogotá y otra en Cartagena, buscando el mismo objetivo, luchar por un mundo mejor, luchar por la dignidad de los pueblos.
And we still continue to walk in March. In October 10th of 2009, this year, we had another march in three different cities, in the city of Cali, in the city of Bogotá, and in the city of Cartagena, where we struggled together. We struggled for a better world. We struggled for our dignity and our rights.
Fueron seis días de marcha, del 10 al 16 de octubre. Y finalmente salió un documento donde dice qué pasos, qué actividades, qué acciones siguen para el 2010, 2011, hasta que tengamos un proceso muy fuerte.
We marched for 6 days, from the 10th of October to the 16th of October, and we came out with a document highlighting what steps we need to take, what actions we need to follow for us to succeed and continue in 2010 and 2011 for a better world.
Entonces, ahora, no somos solamente los indígenas, sino que hay otros procesos, otros sectores, soñando y con mucha esperanza para que esto cambie.
So now it's currently not only the indigenous communities that are marching, but there are also other movements and other sectors that are working together to dream and hope for change.
Pero sabemos que este sueño será perseguido, será atacado por el sistema. Pero estamos dispuestos a correr el riesgo.
We recognize that while we dream, we'll be persecuted, we'll be hurt by the system, but we're willing to risk our lives to continue this process.
Yo sé que cuando llegue a Colombia voy a tener problemas, porque el hecho de que yo esté hablando con ustedes aquí, ¿sí? Yo no le estoy engañando al mundo, ni a ustedes, simplemente estoy diciendo lo que pasa allá, pero eso es malo decirlo.
Well, I know that when I return to Colombia, I'll have problems. I'll have problems from what I'm saying to all of you now, because what I'm telling to you is not a lie. I'm sharing with you the truth and what happens in Colombia. And I know when I return, there'll be problems because of this.
Bueno, entonces, finalmente les quiero decir que espero que esta información les sirva a ustedes para que investiguen, profundicen, conozcan la realidad de América Latina, pero también conozcan la estrategia política, militar que tienen las empresas sobre América Latina a nombre de Estados Unidos.
Finally, I'd like to say that I hope this information that I've shared with all of you will affect you, that you might consider investigating the reality of what's occurring in Latin America, but also the reality of United States foreign policies, political and military policies, and how these policies work in tandem with multinational organizations, and how the United States are affecting them.
Eso lo planteo de esta manera porque para los ciudadanos de Estados Unidos con los que he hablado, con los que he compartido en esos 10 días de estar en esta región, en estos estados, he encontrado ciudadanos con muchos valores. La mayoría son cristianos, son afectos de la vida, de la paz, y no de la guerra.
I say this to all of you because throughout the past 10 days that I've shared in the various states that I've been visiting in this region with citizens of the United States, I found that that all of you citizens are deep with moral values. You all have Christian values. You respect life. You want peace, and you don't want to contribute to war.
Entonces nos damos cuenta que no todos quieren guerra, que muchos quieren la paz y muchos quieren convivir en, como manda nuestro Dios, vivir como hermanos en el planeta Tierra.
And I realize that you don't all want war, that you want to promote peace and live the way that our God wants us to live as brothers in a one world.
Bueno, yo quiero dejarlos con un video de 8 o 10 minutos que muestra la cruda realidad que vivimos allá. Y ustedes dirán, ¿qué podemos hacer? Y si hay preguntas, pues estaré presto a responderlas. Gracias.
Well, I'd like to leave you all with a video, a short 8 to 10 video that shows some of the crude realities that are occurring in Colombia and that we live with. Perhaps afterwards, if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer. So thank you all.
Implementation of Plan Colombia 2, or the Strategy of Social Recuperation of Territory, its official name as presented by the Colombian government. Evidence shows that the intentions and consequences of this plan consist in the occupation of our ancestral lands and the subjugation of our peoples with the aim of integrating them into the market in the interest of transnational capital. This would mean the end of our social process and of our peoples and ancestral culture. In official discourse, this plan includes the implementation of 5 strategies in each area. These strategies are control of territory in the war on drugs and organized crime, social reactivation, 7 tools of equality, humanitarian assistance, economic reactivation, initiatives for the generation of legalized incomes for local development, strengthening of the formal justice system and alternative methods of conflict resolution, reconstruction of the social fabric through the use of free time and mass culture. A growing presence of legal and illegal armed actors with increasing territorial coverage and an escalation of combat fighting, pressure, repression, intimidation, forced recruitment, human rights violations, and violations of fundamental rights among civilians. These actions are an attempt to close off spaces and negate the presence and existence of our indigenous community process, through which we assert our right to exercise legitimate and full control over our territories.
No entiendo por qué los mataron. Si querían vivir y construir.
Personas se desplazan en busca de refugio hasta la casa donde estaban residiendo, ingresan a la cocina buscando resguardarse de los disparos.
All of this aggression, which comes from different sides, but mainly from the government and paramilitaries, ends up favoring the interests of the right-wing project. In the same way, the FARC, though they are struggling against the same government regime, damage our process of resistance and contribute to the overall aggression. These are just a handful of examples of the war and terror that has lived in northern Cauca. A careful look at the figures allows us to understand the magnitude of the problems lived in our communities.
Yo que soy americano, no importa de qué país.
There is a tangible presence of large transnational mining companies, logging companies, biofuel companies, and the imposition of the privatization of forests, mountain peaks, water, and public services. Faced with this aggression, the Nasa people decided to liberate Mother Earth in defense of life and land. And the response from the government is the following: not one more centimeter of land for the indigenous. The state that should be protecting us is instead preying on us. It attempts to dismantle our rights, which we have fought for through centuries of resistance. It undermines the sovereignty of the country and acts against the well-being of its citizens and in favor of private and foreign interests through the repression, criminalization, denigration, and pursuit of our organizations, leaders, and community members. Propaganda and ideological subjugation. A sophisticated plan that articulates the last two elements and involves entertainment and spectacle, the blocking of truthful information, and the dissemination of distorted versions of reality.
Hay campesinos buenos, indígenas buenos, personas, amas de casa, niños, que están siendo manipulados por la FARC.
Hay congresistas que en el pasado lideraron la destrucción del Cali. Debían estar en la cárcel. Y ahora son los mismos que estimulan tras bambalinas la violencia a los invasores. Judicialícelos y métalos a la cárcel.
June 8, 2008. The newspaper El País prints more lies.
En esos momentos tan difíciles, uno llega a tener momentos en que uno piensa, uff, deberíamos de tener algo más que eso. Cuando uno ve que maltratan a la gente y la tratan así, uno dice, deberíamos de conseguir otras armas, deberíamos de hacerlo. Pero también se pone uno a pensar que si yo como indígena para defenderme empiezo a armarme, empiezo a utilizar, digamos, a ponerme al nivel de ellos, entonces ya no seríamos diferentes, seríamos iguales. ¿Por qué? Porque estaríamos al mismo nivel y estaríamos enfrentándonos con las mismas herramientas y con la misma crueldad. En otras palabras, terminaríamos haciendo lo mismo que nosotros siempre hemos criticado. Que el arma de los indígenas sea el bastón de mando, que lo decimos, y el pensamiento, defender las ideas que tenemos.
In defense of life and land, we will continue to liberate Mother Earth so that we may all again walk the words of the people in freedom.
Before we do a little question and answer period, I just want to go over a couple of things about what it is that we can do here as United States citizens to work on these issues. And one of them, quite simply, is to contact your representatives. This pending free trade agreement between the US and the Colombia is going to be coming up to vote this year, which is why we're doing this tour now, because this is the critical moment for action and to tell your representatives what you think about these free trade agreements. So you can tell them to vote no on the U.S.-Colombian Free Trade Agreement, but also to stop supporting further U.S. military aid and training to the Colombian government. You can also educate your community. You can write op-ed pieces and letters to the editors and educate your community about what's going on in Colombia and how our tax dollars are affecting it and contributing to it. We have lots of materials up here, fact sheets and articles that you can take with you to use in writing these op-ed pieces and letters to the editor. The other thing you can do is to protest the School of the Americas. The School of the Americas is the training ground for where the disproportionate amount of human rights abuses that take place in Colombia kind of come out of this training base in Fort Benning, Georgia. And every year on November 20th, there is a protest outside of this military training base. And you can go to school, soaw.org, to find out more information about that and about delegations of people from the Northwest that are going to that vigil and that protest. You can also participate in something a lot more local, which is the People's Summit. The People's Summit is sort of in response to it being the 10-year anniversary of the WTO protests in Seattle. It is also in advance of the UN Climate Change Conference in Copenhagen. And this People's Summit is a conference in Seattle for people to decide what would a people's trade agreement look like. Something that a conference which is not only for certain multinational corporations to decide between, you know, behind closed doors. It's an open invite to everyone to come and share what they think alternative models to how we have been doing this should be. It's going to be culminating in a march and a protest in Portland, Oregon on December 5th. So it's a week of action for trade justice. The other thing you can do is join a Witness for Peace delegation. We have delegations that go down to Colombia, Mexico, Bolivia, Venezuela, Cuba, and can come see for yourself. Come talk to a variety of different actors in these scenarios in other countries and decide for yourself what you think. And you can talk to Diego more about the Colombia trips, as he's our delegation coordinator for Colombia. And so the other thing you can do is donate to Witness for Peace and help us bring this tour to other communities. You can talk to me about that, and I'll have this bucket here at the end if you want to donate. But we also are selling these really interesting posters. They're done by the Beehive Collective, which is a artist collective in Maine that uses sort of the imagery of insects and animals to talk about different systems of oppression. And the one that we have here today is really interesting. And it's all about free trade. So I'd come and check that out afterwards as well. We're also selling, this is a longer documentary made by Rafael's group, the Asin. It's about 45 minutes, and it's sort of a deeper look at the Minga and the social processes which are taking place in Colombia. So without further ado, I'm going to pass it on to them to do a question and answer period. Thank you all for coming.
So does anyone have perhaps a question or curiosity that they'd like to share with Rafael concerning what they heard? Yeah.
I've read a lot of information about the World Trade or about the World Bank and how it's created a lot of human rights abuses in Colombia, and I was wanting to ask if he knows anything about that or how it's affected his community.
He escuchado mucho que el Banco Mundial ha afectado mucho a las comunidades en Colombia. Quisiera saber un poquito de cómo sus políticas han afectado a las comunidades en Colombia o quizás en su región en Cauca.
Bueno, el Fondo Monetario Internacional o el Banco Mundial es una estrategia más del modelo económico capitalista.
The International Monetary Fund or the World Bank implements another strategy that's under the capitalistic model.
Ellos nos hacen préstamos a Colombia, pero con la garantía de que tenemos que entregarle toda la riqueza.
They offer loans to Colombia, but in return for a guarantee that we offer them all of our natural resources.
Y Colombia le debe mucha plata al Banco Mundial.
And Colombia owes a lot of money to the World Bank.
Y la forma de pagar es entregarle la riqueza, entregarle el petróleo, entregarle el oro, entregarle el agua, los bosques, el oxígeno.
And the way to repay this loan is to give them back our wealth, our petroleum, our gold, our woods, our lumber, and our oxygen.
Esa ha sido la estrategia que ha utilizado el Fondo Monetario Internacional, o sea, endeudarnos para ellos poder exigir como garantía para cobrar esa plata sacando los recursos.
And that's a strategy that the International Monetary Fund has implemented to bring us into deep debt so that they can be guaranteed in return access to our natural resources.
Esos préstamos o esa ayuda económica que ha dado el Fondo Monetario Internacional a nosotros no ha llegado. Se ha quedado, digamos, en las grandes élites económicas, en los grandes poderes económicos.
These loans that and the economic aid that the International Monetary Fund has given to Colombia hasn't reached our communities. They stay with the large economic powers or with the wealthy elite.
Solo sabemos que del día que nace un niño ya debemos 4 millones de pesos, o sea, $2,000.
We know that as soon as one of our children is born, he grows up in debt. He's born into a $2,000 debt.
Entonces, el TLC, el Fondo Monetario Internacional, la OMC, es la misma estrategia, es la misma política, es el mismo interés para quedarse con la riqueza y el territorio.
The Free Trade Agreement, the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund implement the same policy, the same strategy, and share the same interest to gain control of our territory and natural resources.
El que tiene el 50% del capital del Fondo Monetario Internacional son las corporaciones de Estados Unidos.
U.S. corporations are in control of 50% of the wealth of the International Monetary Fund.
Y el otro restante se la parten en 7 países, el G8 o el G7 que se llama, G7 o G8 que se llama hoy.
And the remaining portion of that wealth is divided between 7 other countries, the G7.
Esa es la realidad, y qué bueno que investigues más y conozcas más de esa situación, de esa política del Fondo Monetario Internacional.
That's our reality, and it's great that you would be interested in investigating a little more concerning the International Monetary Fund.
Has he heard of Plan Dignity in Ecuador?
Sí, has escuchado de la Plan Dignidad en Ecuador.
El levantamiento de los pueblos, la dignidad de Ecuador, sí.
The standing up and organizing of the peoples in Ecuador, Plan Dignity, he's heard of.
I'm talking about a different one, I think, and it's a agreement between Ecuador and the United States that was sort of like Plan Colombia to remove all the cocoa plants in the country. And so why does he believe that some of the plans in other countries have worked but not in Colombia? Why is the plans to remove cocoa plants in Colombia not working?
Este plan dignidad que se refiere era una estrategia entre los Estados Unidos y Colombia y Ecuador para erradicar la coca en Ecuador. Y él piensa, le pregunta, pues, ¿por qué ha logrado tener éxito estas estrategias en otros países y no en Colombia, que sigue produciendo coca?
Bueno, pues en Ecuador hay coca, en Perú hay coca, en Bolivia hay coca. Y en comparación de lo que hay en otros países, nosotros no tenemos tanta coca.
Well, there is coca currently in Ecuador and Peru and Bolivia, and in comparison with what the other countries are producing in terms of coca, well, we don't have relatively that much.
Lo que pasa es que el cultivo de la coca o el problema de la ayuda económica para erradicar la coca está mal orientada.
The problem is in terms of our coca production, the economical strategies to eradicate the coca are misplaced.
Muchos productores de coca, muchos campesinos han dicho, si el gobierno me garantiza un proyecto productivo de ganadería, de café o otro proyecto, ellos con gusto dejarían la coca.
A lot of these producers of coca, the small-scale farmers, say that if the government would offer them a guarantee for an alternative product that would be implemented as a project in their region, that would help them produce perhaps livestock or coffee, then they would let go and stop growing coca.
Pero cuando el campesino reclama ese derecho, se moviliza, es perseguido, es detenido, es atropellado y es asesinado.
But when the small-scale farmer claims these rights and speaks out loud concerning this, he's persecuted, he's jailed, he's hurt, and he's assassinated.
Por eso le decimos nosotros al gobierno de Estados Unidos que la ayuda no sea para comprar armas o para hacer la guerra, que la ayuda sea para inversión social, para ayudar a los campesinos, para darles otra alternativa, otra oportunidad.
And that's why we say that this aid, that this money that's being given to Colombia, not be used for the purchase of weapons or to contribute to war, but rather be used for social investments to help these small-scale farmers, to provide an alternative and an opportunity for everyone.
En estos seis años que han implementado Plan Colombia, la coca no ha mermado. Sigue igual en Colombia, ¿sí? Porque el gobierno solamente ha dado guerra, fumigación y no ha dado otra alternativa.
These past 6 years that Plan Colombia has been implemented, there hasn't been a decrease in coca production. It remains the same because the government has contributed this money to war and fumigations and not to offering us an alternative for our production.
Entonces diría yo que no les interesa acabar la coca porque es una excusa para hacer la intervención política y militar en Colombia.
And that's why I say that their interest is not to end coca, because it's an excuse for political and military intervention in Colombia.
Another question?
First of all, thanks to all of you for coming. And I was hoping Rafael could explain a little bit more about the harm that the fumigation process does, both to the environment and people.
Pues primero le quiero agradecer por venir, y luego quisiera que si podrías explicar un poquito del daño que ha hecho la fumigación en el ambiente, pues en las comunidades.
Voy a hablar de dos departamentos, Putumayo y Caquetá.
I'm going to talk about two departments that are being affected, two regions, Putumayo and Caquetá.
En esa zona es zona selvática, es zona prácticamente de la Amazonía, el pulmón del mundo.
These two zones or these regions are jungle regions. They're in the Amazon, and they're considered the lungs of the world.
Han fumigado constantemente por más de 4 o 5 años, constantemente fumigado. Y el daño a la naturaleza, al ambiente, es muy, muy grave.
They've been fumigating in this region for the past 4 or 5 years, and the damage that's occurred to the environment is very severe.
¿Y cuáles son los daños? Primero, la contaminación de los ríos, la enfermedad que ocasiona a los niños, se han intoxicado niños y han muerto.
And what are these damages that are occurring because of fumigation? Well, first, they've contaminated our rivers. They've created a sickness in the children. The children have become intoxicated and they've died.
Allá no solamente han fumigado la coca, sino que han fumigado el maíz, el frijol, el café, los árboles frutales y los pastos de las vacas.
They haven't simply fumigated the coca, but they've also fumigated the cornfields and the fields that produce beans and coffee fields. They fumigated trees that produce fruits and the grassland that the livestock feed off of.
Y esto ha ocasionado desplazamiento. O sea, la gente se va. a otro lado, porque no hay otra alternativa. Y sigue con lo mismo.
And this has created displacement because the people leave. They leave to other areas because there's no alternative, and they continue with the same activities.
Y así lo quieren aplicar, nos quieren fumigar en todo Colombia.
And they want to fumigate in all of Colombia.
Nosotros no queremos glifosato. Nosotros queremos es alternativas para vivir, alternativas productivas, y queremos un manejo distinto a esa política antidrogas que está dando Estados Unidos.
This is why we say we don't want glyphosate. We don't want to be fumigated with glyphosate. We want an alternative to live. We want an alternative to produce. We want the strategy of anti-drug policies from the U.S. to be handled differently and to change. You had a question?
Yes. There's pretty strong evidence that CAFTA and NAFTA and other U.S. foreign policies have increased the number of economically displaced people in Mexico and Central America, and really increased the number of people leaving the country to come to the United States to seek work. Does he see that in Colombia as well?
Hay fuerte, hay mucha evidencia que las políticas de CAFTA, de Centroamérica y NAFTA han causado mucho desplazamiento económico para que los de esas regiones de México y Centroamérica lleguen a los Estados Unidos encontrando oportunidades de trabajo. Hay evidencia que eso igualmente está ocurriendo en Colombia.
Sí, es lo mismo, es la misma política, es la misma estrategia, es el mismo objetivo.
Yeah, it's the same. It's the exact same policy. It's the same strategy. It's the same objectives that are being carried out.
Ahora están cogiendo país por país. No pudieron coger con el ALCA todos los países. Ahora están cogiendo Colombia por acá, Perú por acá, Chile y otros países de manera por cada uno.
So now they're applying this strategy to each individual country. They couldn't do a wide Latin American strategy, but rather they're approaching each strategy in each country individually, with Colombia and also Peru and Chile, and every individual country.
Pero el objetivo es controlar los países de América Latina, quedarse con los recursos que aún tiene América Latina para capitalizar más sus empresas transnacionales.
And their objective is to take control of various regions in Latin America, to take control of these resources that still exist in the region, and to capitalize on these resources and to strengthen their personal multinational the economy of these organizations.
Y en Colombia está creciendo la pobreza. Hace 6, 7 años estábamos sobre 27, 28 millones. Hoy estamos sobre 36 millones de pobres.
And in this respect, poverty in Colombia continues to increase. Throughout the past 6 and 7 through 7 years, there were 27 or 28 million who lived in poverty, but now currently there are over 36 million who are living in poverty.
Por eso decimos que cuando se firme el TLC de esa manera, pues nuestros pueblos desaparecerán. Nuestra dignidad, nuestros procesos quedarán destruidos, quedarán sin vida.
And this is why we say if they sign that free trade agreement, our people will disappear. Our movements will disappear, our dignity will be gone, and we'll be destroyed. We'll be left without our lives and our well-being.
Porque recordemos un poquito lo que ha pasado en México. En México es el país, es el pueblo del maíz.
Let's remember what happened in Mexico. Mexico, there are people, there were people who depended and lived off of corn.
Antes del Tratado de Libre Comercio, en el 94, todos podían comer tortillas. Hoy son pocas las familias que comen tortillas.
Before NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement was signed in 94, tortillas was a staple food crop and everyone ate them. Today, only a few can afford to eat it.
Porque se han apoderado de todo, se han quedado con toda la riqueza y nos han dejado en la pobreza. Y así nos van a dejar en Colombia y en los países que se firmen ese tipo de tratados con las transnacionales.
Because they want, these corporations want to take control of all the wealth. They want to empower themselves. In the process, they'll leave behind a lot in poverty and misery. This will happen in Colombia if this treaty is signed, and it will happen in every country where these treaties are signed.
And to maybe put it into a perspective that may bring it home a little bit, to answer your question too, in the United States, if you go by numbers, I mean, Latinos are the vast majority of, or the largest minority population here. But if you break that down country by country, you have that outside of the Mexican population, which is the largest of the minority, Colombians place second. And most of them come here under the political asylee or refugee status. And this increased heavily after 2001 with the implication of Plan Colombia, so or with the application of Plan Colombia. So it already has had effects in the movement and migration of Colombians seeking refuge here in the United States.
¿Crees que Monsanto y otras compañías controlan o influyen en el gobierno de los Estados Unidos? Porque abajo de Bush, la secretaria de Agricultura, era expresidente de unas compañías, como creo que era de Monsanto.
Sí.
His question was, does Monsanto have control and influence over the U.S. government, because under the Bush administration, the Secretary of Agriculture was formerly the president of Monsanto.
Yo creo que tienes toda la razón. Ellos tienen los cargos más importantes de dirección política, económica en el gobierno de Estados Unidos.
I think, yeah, you're absolutely right. They are currently in charge, and they have the largest responsibility in the political and economic activities of the United States.
Por ejemplo, un ejemplo nada más quiero poner. Hablaba con un ciudadano de aquí, de un estado que visitamos, y decía él, ¿cómo puede ser posible que un senador se gaste 12 millones de dólares para su campaña política? ¿Quién financia eso? ¿A quién representa?
He'd like to give an example. Throughout this tour, we were.
La respuesta.
I think we were in Montana when we spoke with a citizen. He spoke with the citizen, and he told him that how is it possible that a senator runs a political campaign and spends $12 million to get elected? Who is he representing? Where is this money coming from? And he says, "Well, the corporations." Yeah. So.
One more question?
Oh. Two more questions.
Okay, two more questions. Respuestas,
Yo sé que en Perú hay un movimiento de los indígenas que coca no es droga, que coca es una medicina tradicional y es diferente que la cocaína. Y ellos están defendiendo defendiendo su derecho a producir coca. ¿Están ustedes están ustedes de acuerdo con la gente de Perú?
She's asking that in Peru, coca is not seen as a drug, but rather a traditional and medicinal plant, and it's different than cocaine. Coca is a primary ingredient for cocaine production. So she's asking if that in Peru they defend coca production, and if Rafaela agrees with this.
Bueno, para los pueblos indígenas andinos, la coca ha sido una planta sagrada.
For the indigenous people, the Andean people, coca, the coca plant, has been a sacred plant.
Pero el problema está en que lo han cogido otros y lo han convertido en una planta para la muerte.
The problem is others have taken this plant and they've converted it into a plant for death.
Entonces el problema está es en el uso. En el uso que se le da por personas extrañas a la coca.
The problem is in the use that it's being used for and the use that it's been given by foreigners who take this plant and use it.
Great, well thank you all so much and feel free to come up and ask Rafael and Diego and myself more questions. I'm also going to remind you that if you'd like to make a donation, we have this beautiful bucket here to help us get through the next day.
And this really cool poster.
And these really interesting posters. And please, if you are interested in signing up for our newsletter, which only comes out about once a month, so it won't bombard